figured when I asked the guy to sponsor it, we might as well use fish for Adar. We use fish for Adar also for Elul. It's a simen bracha. It happens to be, I'd forgotten, we used to give shir in there, good and flappish, we had nosh on the table the whole time, as the shir was also at night, the people were tired. I remember last year, Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Slichas time is especially challenging. So it's sponsored by the dentist who actually wants you to eat as much as you can of that. But there's no pechisas are covered, Adarabu invite it, and enjoy yourself, but it's the same reason we serve coffee and Charlton, things like that. And if it's wildly popular, it's relatively inexpensive, we'll have somebody sponsor for the whole year. But I happen to remember that we Taka 10 years straight always had it, and we had bracha shailus, and we had all sorts of interesting sub-shirim based on some of the stuff the guys brought. So you can help yourself, please do, make a bracha. Don't make a bracha achrayin if the fish goes down slowly. If it goes down, there are scales and fins on those. If you check,
isn't it going to prevent from the fishing incidents?
That's yeah. It was part of the total breakdown and break-in today of the. Is that what it's called? It's called phishing, phishing malware, phishing spyware. Oh, I was wondering how you pronounce that. Okay. So the second thing is people do, as I mentioned before you came in, people do amazing chesed because there were hundreds and hundreds of people within 20 minutes who called me, texted me, and emailed me today. I thought the Mashiach came. I turned on my phone and all of a sudden, like, the whole thing exploded. I didn't know what hit me. So, and each one thought, and that's the right way to take care of Arvis, is that I better do something because I don't know if somebody else is doing it. That's Gavaldik. That's what Arvis is all about. And it was great for Elul, and there are many other lessons. Maybe we'll talk about it at Shabbat Shuvah. But the experience was is that the virus is spread from somebody in the shul who got it from somebody else in the shul. So at least we have Achtus here, and it's spread collectively. But it's that Russia, when he gets to the Elam Amis, not only going to have a din on the attempted Geneva and all the other things he's doing, just in the Bittul Torah alone, I don't want to be in his shoes, whoever he is. I think he traces somebody in Hungary, probably a former Arrow Cross or a neo-Nazi or something like that. Yes, but that he's not going to get. That maybe his grandchildren will learn Torah in Bnei Brak. Just there, Agav. Maybe if he's lucky. But we'll have more to darshan about that later. Let's start speaking of Chukas Akum. We'll start the Chukas Akum tonight with we had our brief introduction. If you can give out these copies, and the back, we're going to start with the tour and parts of the Beis Yosef. And once we spend a week or two on that, just to get the basics, and then we'll start talking about the tshuvas, which are fascinating because you can mamash follow history. In Gullus, in Europe, in America, and apply all the chukoseim and see how they applied it then, how it's nogea now. We're going to be miyashav not only the doors we spoke about last week, we're going to talk about why everybody here is walking around in a very goyish blazer and two-piece suit, three-piece suit, double-breasted suit, including the Magid Shir, at least during the week. It's to the onlooker who, if you get somebody to come in, somebody from the shtetl from 300 years ago, and look at you, it looked very bizarre, l'chera. And Ramesha has this famous tshuva dealing with that, so we'll get to the miyash of all those things. First, you have to find out what the yitzer is. So let's go to the tour. Simen kuf ayin ches, that's all in one simen. And the tour lays it out, and then we're going to go and take a look at the Beis Yosef and the Drisha and the other Mefarshim. Aser, Leleches b'chukas hagayim. This is a pasuk, chukas hayim leselechu. It's just one of the more mysterious pasukim. Usually you have lesignev, okay, with kidnapping, and we know it's talking about geneva. Chukas hayim leselechu sounds like a very gray area. It's not gray, you just have to figure out what the din is. But you shouldn't follow the chukas hagayim, and the first thing the Torah is going to take care of is that certain things that are usher onto themselves, which would also be a violation of chukas hayim because the goyim are doing it, but you don't need a pasuk for that, which is what the Torah says. Also, lechel chukas hagayim, vein tzach leimar shalal liksam v'lanachesh v'lainin. These are various forms of kishuf, machalik zishainim, where the sleight of the hand, if it's extreme sleight of the hand, you can't figure out what the guy is doing. Most Rishainim and Peskim hold this in his derisa as well. Ramesh has his famous tshuva. He brings a raya from Naftali. He ran 80 miles an hour back to Mitzrayim. He says that's talent. you seem running across the whole field and you would think it's kishuf. He says, that's just, he says, moving your feet quickly, moving your hand quickly. He doesn't believe that's asr, but Ramesh misquoted. He says in the Tshuva three times, I didn't really pass it with mutter. Just if you'd ask me, I would try to be mishtamet. Never talks like this in the Tshuva. If you'd ask me again, I would try not to answer the question. If you really push me, I would tell you I think it's mutter. But the reason he said that is because the Chayodom and everybody before him said that it was asr, and they complained about the chasnas and all the people doing sleight of the hand. So that's the easy serum over here. Matter of fact, Yaakov, we were just discussing a famous Israeli... what does he call himself? A magician?
Illusionist.
What?
He's changed his description.
Okay, so it's a famous Israeli, whatever he is, who I always had a sneaking suspicion that it can't be, but I'm just a skeptic. I'm a skeptic because we don't have Ruach HaKodesh, and the only reason they had Kishuf is because they had Nevuah and Zulumazu, and Hashem tried to balance out Bechira. So they had Machashvim who could do black magic, and you had Nevi'im who could do white magic, or you had Gedalim who could do white magic, which is called Nisim in Hebrew. Saying that this guy claimed he can bend spoons by looking at it and thinking at it and all sorts of interesting things like that. So, not public information, but there might be a certain publication that is coming out soon with... Right. Came out already?
No.
Okay. Might be working on an article about these things, and probably in line with Night Seder. That's how these publications go. And the fellow is certainly, let's put it this way, it's under dispute, under heavy dispute, whether he can do any of these things. Which, when I saw what was being written, I was surprised and expressed my surprise to the editor that the guy's been in business for a long time. He's got a big following. They couldn't slug him up, and if they did slug him up, why is he still performing? Kashan HaMaisa. We blibe Tzarechian. It's an interesting thing. Usually you slug somebody up, he doesn't make money anymore. And this guy's still around making lots of money. And it seems to be that whenever the guy trying to slug him up, who's slugged up in his life work, slugging up a lot of people, appears and challenges him, he never loses, or the performer never wins. So, it's fine with me. I didn't think anybody could bend spoons by looking at it, but that's, if you do it and you have people believing you, that's an isadereisa. Just for the record, but we didn't discuss that, Yaakov. Whether it's true or not, if it's not true, it might be ganeva. If it's true, it's an isadereisa. Because even Rav Moshe, if it's true that he isn't, it's a ganeva issue. Okay, you say it's not ganeva, it's entertainment. He's taking money for entertainment. Okay, maybe, yeah, maybe not. If he's fooling people into thinking he can do it, then Ramesh is not going to be maker. Ramesh is maker. Is a slave of hand. He pulls the rabbit out of the hat and he takes the dime out of your ear. That's usher. So Ramesh admits most person held that was usher, and he says he's not sure. But if he's doing things and half the world, three quarters of the world, even if you say Olam Golem, but there got to be some smart people out there, and there are people who say, no, he's really got powers, then that's usher. That's certainly also. And if he's using the powers and they're from the black side, then you got the other reserve. You got Kishav also. So just for the record, that's really, you should tell him, if you do, you did interview him for the article, which I don't think you did, you should tell him that there's another reason why you should become from very quickly, because besides the other things going on, Chil Shabbat and the like, this is an ongoing problem. His whole panasa is based on this iser. And if it's true, it's based on other reserve. But either way, it's going to be also. I think I once gave the mushal. Somebody went to see Doug Henning. I don't know if you remember who that is. He was, in his time, he was considered the best. And he said he was in an audience with very sophisticated, mature, intelligent adults from Wall Street and the like. And Wall Street's so intelligent, but they have some people at least can know what they're looking at. And like a real sophisticated, you know, dressed in ties and hundreds of people in the audience. And he said every single person, almost with the exception of him, but he was almost like getting carried away, during the show and afterwards walked out ooing and eyeing and like swearing by him. The guy's a bus of a dumb. And I don't know how he cut the lady in half and where the other half is and why the blood was missing. I don't know what was going on there. But he, just like this Israeli fellow, doesn't have the power to do that. He doesn't have the power either. And if he did, he's using Kishuf. Kishuf is Mahalas Yishanim, whether it's also for Zayim. That's a Shaila. Whether it's not in the Zayim Mitzvahs, but they're more than Zayim Mitzvahs. We discussed this in Sanhedrin. It's a Shaila, whether it's also. But to convince what he was doing, and slide the hand, whatever he was doing, I'm Cheshire or Moshe would agree that if sophisticated people think he's real, then that's also. That's what I'm saying. But Moshe is overquoted, misquoted. Yeah.
There's a common assumption.
something that's sleight of hand. They're amazed that even though he's doing something.
So that's what I thought. That's what I thought. This guy was there. He said he heard what the audience was saying during and after. And they were convinced that he has supernatural powers, and if he's not human, then he's a Martian who came with supernatural. You should hear what they were saying. And this is a sophisticated, intelligent, that's for you, especially the doctors. And they were walking out, and they were like telling their friends, you got to see this, there's nothing like that. And he was considered in a class by himself. But I believe, I'd like to believe, he just knew how to do it better. So that's what Ma'ariv Mechashev is all about. Either one's real, one's not. But that's, and Rav Moshe would not do that. And that's important for this this line. But Torah saying that the Issach Chukas Ein Lo Sedechu, if it was just talking about this, it wouldn't repeat it because they're a separate pesukim for this.
I don't think that even the people who claim out loud he has supernatural powers don't really believe it themselves, because then the American government would come in and bring them to Area 51. And we never see
for the uninitiated, what's Area 51?
This place that supposedly doesn't exist.
Yeah.
In the middle of the Nevada desert.
Yeah, next to where they test the A bombs, yeah. And the hydrogen bombs, yeah.
The American government has supposedly other UFOs and other.
Oh, that's the warehouse where they store the UFOs. I was wondering where that was.
Okay.
I was looking for a Chalamai trip. They're very hard to come by. So they would.
I don't think anybody really, even when they say wow,
telling you what the guy told me. The guy told me he was an Orthodox fellow, and I said, "What do you think?" He said, "I'm Shamit Torah Mitzvah, so I'm sort of programmed not to believe." Like almost like he almost believed it, but he didn't want to tell me that he believed it. I don't know. You had to be there. I wouldn't go there, by the way. Oh, so they took him to Area 51 already. Okay, so step ahead, or you see, when the article comes out, he'll get you some copies.
The time that they paid, they didn't know.
The time, but who paid? For the show?
The people went to the show.
No, but when they walked out, there were more converts when they walked out.
They already paid on that, so they're skeptical.
Oh, you're saying that when people pay for something, they have to know they got the money's worth. I don't, okay. That's a psychological... Okay, whatever it is, but what I'm saying is Rav Moshe, people who are saying the Rav Moshe matter, any of these things, if it's not real, I don't believe that's Rav Moshe. Let's just talk about the politics and the magicians and the pirchays, those guys aren't, again, it's a different, there you know that this is very cute and you learn this for a week or two and you're very good, but you know, you can explain it, which I'm sure Doug can do also, he just wasn't willing to. Okay. Shkolelu Mufroshim Matera, second line. So these are separate Yisrim. Yosef, La Soma Latsos Ketoev, Zekai Ma'el, Ha'em, Matzbacha, Mavre, Ben Abita, Be'esh. Now, by the way, Mavre, Ben Abita, Be'esh is Avodah Zarah, Moloch, they used to, Machlekes Yishanim, where they burnt the kids, Leilainu, where they singed them, or they just, yeah, whatever it was, but that's Shaila of possible murder and Avodah Zarah. All these necromancy, all these different things, they used to work with bones and bring up the dead. That, according to Rav Ruba the Rishonim, except for the Rambam, all different Shita, on a lot of this, hold that Kishuv is a real Kayach, and used to be real, and today, basically, anybody who knows doesn't talk, anybody who talks doesn't know. That's basically the rule of thumb. But if you would go in the backyard, back roads of Tibet or somewhere in a small village of Venezuela, you know, maybe you would still find an old lady who knew how to do it. And they would, it's a seance, they'd bring up people from the dead. And Shaul HaMelech used it, and he felt he had a heter, which he probably did, for Sakan Stafash. This was a battle, and the Urim Tum wasn't talking to him, as a Novia Kainim, and he didn't get Nevuah. And he had no access to finding out what he should do, so he, whether that was the right thing to do or not, but he held he had a heter, but it worked. According to Roy Vishen. It worked so well, she yelled and fainted when she called up one from the dead and two came up, and Chazal explained that Shmuel Hanavi brought Moshe Rabbeinu as a defense lawyer because he thought he was being called to Yemen Din HaGadol V'Ha'Nora. So it seems Pashup Shad is it's pretty real. And Chayver Chayver, all these things, the gathering animals, the different things they used to do in the ancient times, everybody was into this. Do you ever wonder a Navi why... they had to, and Navi, forget Navi, as late as Shimon ben Shetach, We learned the Gemara in Sanhedrin B'in. They had to make a whole campaign after he finished everything else to get the witches. And he got all of them in a cave, and he got the yeshiva bachur with the raincoats. Remember that? And they picked them up, so the feet weren't on the ground. He executed them. This was a real problem. Why the women were involved? There was a machshefa as a lady, is because I guess they're at home, and you know, before access to online, which is a different form of kishur sometimes, they had nothing to do. So they, you know, unfortunately, this is what people got into. Darius Alamesim. That's the seance. Elafilu. So those are separate Yisroelim. Elafilu minig shenago goyim asolelo bo. So now, what is chukoseim lasolechu? Even if you'd be over chukoseim by doing all these things anyway, that's not what the pasuk is aiming at. The pasuk is aiming at a goyisha minig that is none of the above. And obviously we're going to spend the next few weeks trying to define that. Asolelo bo desir chukoseim lasolechu v'chein kasav Rambam. Now, the way this Rambam reads at the beginning, needs Hezber, which we're going to explain. Ein holchem b'chukas l'gayim, v'lo medam alehem, loy b'malbush, can't look like them in your dress. V'lo, next page, the sayar in your haircut. V'kiyetze behem, elo ye yisrael muvdol mehem, you should be clearly separate and recognizable that you're a different people and a different religion. The adua bil malbusho, and they're able to pick the fellow out in a crowd with their distinct malbush, ubashar maisav, and with the way they act. Minhagim cover many things: haircuts and malbushim and mannerisms. This hacker, by the way, missed something very obvious. That's why everybody knew right away. Normally, hackers, I would assume they have more success, that the guys wouldn't be in the business. Why is it everybody figured out right away? Because the not-too-intelligent fellow didn't realize he was hacking into a Rav's computer. And he started the email, hey, check this out. I don't talk like that. Everybody knew that right away. That was like painfully obvious. The next one was hello. I never say hello. It's either shalom aleichem or I get to the point. When's the last time you guys have received email from me? When's the last time I said hello? So everybody knew right away there's something wrong over here.
The program was programmed for Balabatim.
Not for Rav. Nobody told you. I mean, you don't say, hey, check this out. Yeah, we're going to get the hey, check this out, because Lashonos are part of the Chukas Ha'im.
Don't get more sophisticated.
I mean, next time it's going to be, hey, regarding last night's Kasha, open the file. Like, well, it's going to be. Okay, I hope not. Well, I hope, yeah.
They found work. It was one of the main guys
at work. Yeah, Shaggy was telling me this. Yeah, he almost broke in. What? That's not the right, you know. With Esav and Yaakov, the Rishonim have a field day with that, because he said no. He said, oh, it must be Esav Yaakov. They had a hard time figuring out what exactly he was in the field and he was among the. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I don't want to say this too loud, because I don't, you know, who's.
This one was unsophisticated.
Very, like, hey, check this out, or check this out. Like, I don't. When's the last time I said check this?
I wrote as fast as I could.
Why? You right away. Yeah. But that's why it generated such a response. But the example I'm using here, check it out. Yeah, I'm not going to answer that. Don't panic. But but we have what's scary about this sugya, which is why I picked it up to this, is one simon shulchan aruch. Amar amarin and not a machashev. You know, how many times may ever chukas emes aleichu? You got to figure it out, because you're in a country, a host country, so long, in Gullah so long. We pick up things. I gave extreme examples. The guy was knocking on wood, and the guy was crossing his fingers. Okay, most people, I would hope, you know that that's usur. But there are shitas at whole when you speak with certain lashonos. So he said, the Rambam just said mannerisms. He's not talking about clothing. He's not talking about haircuts. Mannerisms. So what's that? And where does speaking fit? How much slang can you use? How much can you? There's a sheet that holds that if you use very highfalutin, sophisticated things that only the dukes use, that only the aristocracy, that would be an issue, because the Jews were never near the aristocracy and they're just trying to shop at the time. That wouldn't apply today, because most of the professors are Jewish. So it's a little hard to say that's chukasem b'asalechu. But if you start using, lack of a better word, you know, inner city words or urban slang and things like that, we use it a little bit. The question is, how much are you going to get into the, I would say almost get into the gutter, but some of these Lashonos have very seedy pests. But the question is, how much can you use and not be talking like a guy?
If
That's,
if you look at a picture of New York City in 1930, people look very much like people come to shul here.
Right. Well, then we're going to get to that. And we're still wearing our suits and our ties, and that's fine.
People didn't change. They wore a hat. They wore.
Yes, the shaila is, but when you do something that most people, why is it that that as a rav, you'd be surprised if I'd say, hey, check this out. And I'm not going to answer it. So the answer is, okay, we don't. So you can say, well, I'm saying, so the shaila is, how much is Gleishkeit? How much is on the street? It's certainly a hider not to use the Lashon. The question is, where do you cross the border? But there's a reason why a Ben Torah will resist using certain languages, even though there's no curses in there, and it's not necessarily insulting and the like, because we know where it comes from. That's certainly within the hashkafa of this. The question is, where does it cross the line? That we're going to have to figure out later. But again, the Rambam says, Yisrael moved to Mehem, second line of Yidu, Malbusho, Bashar Maisiv, Kamashu, moved to Bemadoi, just like in his brain, in his hashkafa sachayim, in his dais, he's moved from the Goyim. He has to show in an outward fashion that he's moved from the Goyim. La Yubush, Malbush, Amiyucha Lehem, you should not wear clothing that is Miyucha to them. Again, the question is, what does that mean? Like Gadol Tzitzis Reishoik and Tzitzis Reishoim, the Gemara and Sanhedrin and other places has descriptions of Roman haircuts and various types of haircuts for aristocracy and for soldiers and things like that. You can't have that fun. Sometimes you're violating Peas or Pas or Reish already. But even if you're not doing that, like he gives two examples of this, but it's not limited to these examples. Like Alech Minat Stadim V'Niach Hasar B'Emsa, what do they call that, a mohawk? So you can't, now, even if you do a complete one, you'd be over on Pasar Reish already. You'd have two separate Yisrael in the race. But if you just try to get the haircut, even with that Isser, just to look like that, then that would be an Isser the Reisa, which is a big problem. The Rambam is started off talking about haircuts, and he's describing it, as the Gemara describes it. And that's a problem, even as mine is there. The funny coincidence that there were people who were not so yeshivish, who during the 60s and early 70s, had brisker payas, and now they don't. So what happened? They got less yeshivish? The answer is no. Elvis died. That's the whole difference, right? There was a fad. So you have a problem if your haircut is trying to be patterned after what is going on in the street to look more goyish. Now, does that mean I can't have brisker payas? No. You can have brisker payas even if you never went to brisk. But you got to be consistent. That's the problem. And besides the chukasayim, possible chukasayim issue, there's the issue of once you follow things, you're going to follow things that are usher in the sneeze department. So I was told by the Rebbetzin and many other graduates, Rabbi Mandel from Yeshiva Brooklyn, reminds me that I used to tell the girls that Rabbi Mandel was the manal of the school, I don't know, for 40 years, 50 years, something like that. So he saw all the scholars go back and forth and back and forth. There's some guy in Paris laughing all the way to the bank. He recently had a very good laugh when Arya came home with his hat. I told him that I hope we got half price because they left out half the brim. I never saw it just from 2 years ago to now. It's just that so some guys are only selling to Jews. It can't be Chukosayim. Nobody else is wearing hats. But they have to sell more hats. The ties go like this, and then they get thinner. And then the hats get bigger, and then they get there because they have to keep selling hats. So Ibadafka got a bigger brim just to make a macha. So here, that's not going to be chukasayim, it's not following them. And as Amosha is going to explain when we get to it, if they're just doing that to sell more clothing, and that's the mashiyesh, so that's not necessarily going to be a problem. But Rabbi Mandel used to tell the girls, when the girls used to complain, they used to come in during Sotik Uvas wearing very long skirts. Gavaldik. Mamash like the Victorian era. Mamash like Lahavdil, like Sari Manu. And he used to answer it. He said, 4 inches below the knee, nothing lower. And they said, the Rebbe is, I'd like to be Machmer. So he said, yeah. And in 5 years from now, when they go very short, you're not going to be talking like that. So if you follow it when it goes very long, you'll follow it in the other direction. That's the problem with being hooked on the styles. And the Chukosayim issue is floating around in the background, but that's going to be a real sneeze issue. And Ezo Chacham Arayas Anayilid. So he did not allow them, in a soundbite that sounds Shiva Brooklyn, he didn't allow them to wear extra long skirts because he was afraid of where it was going. Which is a pichus. So, getting back to the haircut. So we have two versions of this. Tzitzis Reishi, Kama Tzitzis Roshon, Gleich, Minat Stad, Minia, Chasar, Bamsa, Kamoshe, and Oysim, Mizeo, Nikra, Bluris. A chup in various places, like Gleich, Chasar, and Keneged, Panov, Meoz, and Leizim, Minia, Chapera. That chups in the front, chups in the side, chups in the back, different variations. Again, it's not limited to this. Next one, the Rishonim and Anachronim have a hard time figuring out what this is. We're going to, when we get to it, be, and we're going to suggest a few possibilities. Lo yivne makayim is kabinyan heichalos shal avodah zara. You can't build buildings using the architecture of churches. Now, that would be good if the sentence stopped here. Heichalos shal avodah zara. So that's why the minhag is in shul. You build a nice building, but we don't have a steeple. And we don't put clocks on top because we don't want to copy their binyanim. But the Rambam continues, Kadei shiachatsa bam rabin po shenaitzin. You shouldn't build buildings where you have a lot of people coming in. Well, we build large buildings, we build social simples. So the Rebbe's already going to say, well, you can't build a building. He's not sure what that means. But whatever it means might cover a few things. Some suggest that you can't use the devices they use to get people to come to the gatherings, like a bell, which is why we don't use a bell. Vekers have sticks. They knock on gates, sometimes on heads in yeshiva, and sometimes on the foot of the bed, but they don't use bells. Because once the guys are using it, we dafka don't want to call people to service like that. And we don't build like a church because it already looks gayish. Question is, does the Rambam mean anything more? Let's see the next two lines. Chaleisa echa me'elu, surprise. Kayetza b'zeh loike, this and it's the reisa, and it's achia malchus. Fascinating. Misha karv l'malchus, and then he has a heter, which we'll have to explore. V'tzar lulbush kamal b'shem, lidus lam mutar hak mutar b'kul. Then, after all these malchus and it's the reisa, if you're karv l'malchus and you have to dress like the Romans, when in Rome do the Romans do? What's that all about? So, Mitzvah Shem, we'll start looking at the Beis Yosef tomorrow night. You guys didn't eat enough fish, although you all stayed awake, so you...